I can't believe that it's Thursday already. It seems like we just got here, and Amy, we're back, and it's Thursday.
Changes. Today is so different from yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Today you can't say there were blue skies, and it's a beautiful day in Oshkosh. A little cooler.
It's a lot cooler, I think. Hey. Not even a little cooler. I think that we are not the weather people, and we cannot talk about the weather.
No, that's true.
In concrete terms. But we have an amazing guest.
We do,
with us
and
today.
Let me tell you, oh, he's pretty cool. I've known him a while. I knew him back when he was just a youngster, I mean. But Ian Twombly's the AOPA Vice President of Publications, but he comes from a family of aviators, and he joined the staff of AOPA way back in 2003 and kind of worked his way up the ranks. But he's also an instrument flight instructor like us guys.
So like us we guys. Can talk. We have a lot in common,
you
the
ain't
three kid. Of us.
So Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, it's great to be here.
I just can't believe that we have a person who has just, again, I remember you back when you were at AIN.
And
now you're really an important guy.
So in my own mind.
There you go. But
it's a small pond, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But we've got this great list of things we wanted to talk about. Amy, where should we start?
Well, Ian, let's start with the FAA medical legislation.
Yes.
And this curls, I think, the administrator who's here today's toes.
Yeah.
Because it took an act of Congress to literally get changes and reform to third class medical. I mean, and when I say act of Congress, it took AOPA, it took EAA, it took a real mass push to get this through. I know you were part of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound corny, but I will say that I've been at AOPA now for over 10 years, and this really is the most proud I've ever been to be associated with the organization. And part of that is because of third class medical. It's I love it. People say act of Congress like it's an act of God, and of course it does feel like that for these guys who work this stuff. I had absolutely nothing to do with it on a day-to-day basis. My job is helping to communicate it, of course. But for the folks who did, it's just fascinating. It's been fascinating to listen to hear their stories about how it went and the strategies involved. And really it comes down to Mark Baker, when he came in, said, look, I think this petition is important. I think we need to get it done. We had sort of been waiting on the regulatory side, had pushed that, which is the traditional route that associations go to get stuff done. And Mark said, we're going to do it legislatively. And so Jim Kuhn, who runs that for us, got it done. I mean, it's just it's amazing. Jim comes from the Hill. That's his life. His life wasn't aviation first, but he worked on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. And so he knows the issues and knew the people. And of course, DC is about relationships.
Oh, good Lord. Yes.
Yeah. More than anywhere, really. More than ad sales, even. Right.
So yeah, there you go.
Well, maybe if for some of the listeners that may not be familiar, they may have heard the phrase third class medical reform.
Right.
But what does it mean in reality?
Well, we're kind of in this weird limbo right now where the bill is done. It's law. It's going to happen. But of course, we operate by regulations, right? I mean, we got to read.
So there isn't a regulation yet.
There is not. But there's a couple of cool things that we know are going to happen because it's spelled out. Basically, the third class medical, if you operate under a certain set of parameters, let's say you're healthy and you're not under the special issuance. If you've had a medical within the past 10 years, it looks likely like you will never have to see an AME again. Now, if you develop a certain number of conditions, we think they're going to be shorter than the current list of special issuance. You got to go get a special issuance once. That's it. Otherwise, the idea is to really get the government out of the business of telling you if you're healthy and put it back on you and your doctor where it should be.
There you go. And that being said, there will be obligations for you to fulfill every 2 years and every 4 years.
Yeah, that's
right. It's just you don't have to send it to the FAA unless there's an issue.
That's right. It's so there'll be a 2-year course, online course, to help talk about self-certification, which, of course, we do now every day. We go flying.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll just solidify that a little bit and then bring to light some issues for you to think about. AOPA will offer that course. It'll be free. And then there's a checklist that you have to go through with your private physician, which you no doubt see at least every 4 years anyway. And it just, you run through the checklist, you say, hey, I'm healthy. They sign off on it. You keep it in your logbook. You're ready to go. And yeah. That's it.
And one of the things that I think is very interesting, last year you were here with some really cool Cessna 152 trainers, revitalizing mm-hmm. them, et cetera. I think the value on those airplanes just went up.
I agree.
Big time.
I agree.
And there's a reason why. You can explain.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I think there's the third class medical thing, which actually when you start to talk to people, especially those who are on special issuance, there's a lot of uncertainty in their situations. And so you talk to folks who said, well, I don't feel like I can buy something else because what happens if my medical's denied? Then I've got this asset which I can't use. And so people really feel now that like they're open to be able to move up if they want, or buy a new airplane, or down, or whatever the case may be.
Well, so. And I think that those that were on the cusp of thinking, I may go to sport mm-hmm. pilot and just get one of those.
Before anything bad happens.
Well, yeah. Now they can train, they can go back into a 152, and that 152 was never going to get grandfathered into that sport
right.
pilot. And now that airplane suddenly has tremendous
sure.
value, and you have a product that gives you one that feels like it's a new airplane again.
Yeah, yeah. So something that we're really excited about that we're talking about at the show, I don't know if folks remember back at Sun and Fun, EAA announced a partnership with Dynon where they were basically, we call it non-TSO, which it's a little bit of an insider term, but basically what it means is if you have a certified airplane, the experimental world really forever has been able to take advantage of this just fascinating technology to make airplanes safer, and they can put it in very cheaply, basically for the cost of producing the stuff, and rather than having to go through the expense of certification. And so now the FAA has just completely changed direction on their thinking of these things and have realized they've seen the light and said, hey, this stuff makes airplanes safer. Why are we keeping it out of the market? And so they have opened up a path so that these avionics that come more from this experimental background will be able to be put into certified airplanes. And here at the show, we announced, it's not, I would say, a true partnership, but it's basically we worked with Garmin to bring the G5, which they just come out with as an experimental piece of avionics. It's an electronic attitude indicator, and it's around $2,300. And you buy the unit. You get it installed probably less than 10 hours, and you have a digital solution for your attitude. It's just fantastic. And they came out at the show with the full AML STC list, meaning it's if you fly an airplane under 6,000 pounds, it's probably available.
Well, and see, this is common sense. These are things that make flying light aircraft safer, and we shouldn't be throwing up these huge barriers to companies that want to do that. I mean,
yeah.
I think the AOA really broke that wide open, didn't it?
That's right. That's
the
exactly
angle of
right.
attack indicators.
It's nice to be able to use the phrase common sense and FAA in the same sentence.
You know what's fascinating? I've heard that so much this week that people who are certifying new products or are working on experimental stuff, they say, God, the FAA has been awesome to work with. And so it feels like a new day, and it feels great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for $2,300 and some,
yeah.
you can have an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, right.
It's cheaper than
or
therapy.
You can just listen to 96.5 FM or 1210 AM.
Oh, I'm sorry. But you know, I think something else that's really interesting about Ian is that, you know, that we mentioned that family of aviators and your dad, Mark, a lot of people may remember from mm-hmm. A bunch of aviation publications, but you've also got a brother that's tied to our radio station in
yeah.
a way. Tell
yeah.
me about that.
Yeah.
Tell us both.
Well,
yeah.
I'm proud to say, my brother Christian, my big bro, he's a professor at St. Cloud State.
Where our interns come from.
Yeah, and I think it was last year, he said, hey, actually, I just found out that the radio station at EA, you know, it's St. Cloud students, and it's like, yeah, I know, they're right next to us, and so it's really cool. He's done a couple of the college radio segments up there for him, and he's he does electronic music composition, so it's a very specialized field.
He's the creative side
yeah.
on the music level. You're the creative side on the editorial and
you can spell the words right. He doesn't need to worry about that.
Yeah, that's right. He's into the art side. I mean, he's way out there in the creative side, so doing cool stuff.
Do you like his music?
Don't ask him that question.
Yeah,
that's
a terrible thing.
Do you think he's not listening?
I think he's incredibly talented. It's not music. Electronic music is, it's like the art of music, I guess I would say. They have two rules, and it's no melody And, you know, what is it? No melody and no, like, no time signature or something. It's free form, and it's the future. It's way out there.
Yeah, it's beyond William Faulkner. Let's just put it that way. And even T.S. Eliot, you know, keep moving.
Yeah, he's
keep moving.
Yeah, 20th century's old news for them. So
right,
yeah.
Exactly. Well, Ian, I have a question. I know AOPA has a big presence here on the field. Can you tell people where they can find you?
Absolutely. So if you're on the grounds, you can come near the Brown Arch on the flight line. We actually have two big tents, the AOPA tent where you can come in and talk about medical situations, third-class medical questions. You can renew membership, join. And then next to it, actually, we call it the Program Pavilion. It's a full seminar tent, and we've got stuff going on there all week and the schedule posted. And so, yeah, come on by and check us out. Absolutely.
That sounds wonderful. And if they're not here at the show, because we have a huge contingent that listens to us live streaming, where can they go to get more information about AOPA?
So it's AOPA.org, always. And then, of course, you know, for me, it's the magazine, AOPA Pilot and Flight Training. And then we actually have a weekly webcast TV show called AOPA Live. So definitely check out that.
AOPA Live is on my Roku. I watch it every week.
Nice. All right.
Ian Twombly, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak with us at EAA Radio.